Go back with me, if you would, to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. I am so grateful for the men that the Lord used to write commentaries on the Scripture. I'm grateful for those men. The Lord taught them some things and had them write them down for us. And I use them and I read them. And there were some men who pointed out some things in this chapter that were a great blessing to me. They were such a great blessing to me. And I want to give some of those things to you tonight. It is commonly believed, David, just under the heading, it says a Psalm of David. David wrote this, he penned it. And it's commonly believed that David wrote this psalm toward the end of his life. And he wrote it at a time, men say, where at the end of life, some things become a little clearer. Some realities become a little bit more real to us. Come the end of this life. There are things that I could not understand when I was younger that I understand now. There are just things I could not understand that I understand right now. I am adamantly positive that 20 to 30 years from now, if the Lord tarries, if He keeps me, if He would have me to live that long, 20 or 30 years from now, there are going to be things that I understand more clearly than I could possibly understand them today. I'm just confident of that. One of the things that God's people get a greater sense of the longer they travel through this world is a sense of their own sin. That's sad to say. We hope it is less. You want it to be less. The longer you go, you hope that we forget those things. We move past those things. We want to be done with those things. I want to be more and more conformed into His image, and I want to get farther and farther from that. But the reality is, I see more of my own sin now than I ever have. And from what I hear men and women older than me say, it only becomes clearer. It only becomes clearer. It's a greater reality, a greater sense of our own sin. David said here in this chapter in verse 9, he said, "He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." David seems to be very familiar with his sin. Very familiar. Sin, he said, iniquity, transgressions. And that's not what we start out seeing ourselves to be. That's not the view we have of ourselves in the beginning. But that is where every single one of God's children will end up. Every single one. That's where we all will end up. The longer we go, unfortunately, the more heightened our awareness will be of our own sin. The more heightened our awareness will be. With that, the Lord is so wise in how He reveals everything to us. Because with that comes a greater awareness of something else. The longer we go, and the greater our awareness becomes of our own sin, the greater our awareness will be of God's grace. The more we see of our sin, the more we'll see of God's grace. The more we are convinced of our sin, the more we will become convinced of God's grace. Verse 13 says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Those of you who have children, what do they mean to you? What do they mean to you? How important are they to you? In the priorities of life, where do they rank? Well, I thought about feeding my children today, but I don't think I'm going to. Has that literally ever crossed your mind? Ever? They said they were hungry, they were crying, but I just not going to do it. Has that ever crossed your mind? Turn with me over to Malachi chapter 3, last book of the Old Testament, Malachi 3. Verse 17, Malachi 3, verse 17 says, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, my special treasure. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serves him. That's how I'll spare him. I'll spare him as a man spares his own son. Turn with me over to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 9 says, or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? God's grace. God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Believers truly do see more and more of that grace as time goes on. They really do. They enter into more and more as time goes on. Go with me back over to Psalm 103. There's something else that God's people receive a greater awareness of as time goes on. And that's a greater sense of the end of this life. A greater sense of the end of life on this earth. Look at verse 14. He said, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. That becomes more and more clear to us, doesn't it? More clear to us, the end of this life, every day that passes is one day closer, and it's getting faster and faster. It's just getting faster and faster. It becomes more clear to us, all these things. And the Lord more so reveals to us also that they're all good. We see all these things to be good. It's good for a man to be aware of his own sin, isn't it? Isn't that good? It's good for a man to be aware of God's grace. It's good for a man to consider the frailty of his life. Oh, that they were wise and would consider their latter end. Here's another good thing that the Lord's people become greatly aware of. Verse 17 says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them." Those that are keeping his covenant, holding on to, laying hold of, bringing near, not letting go, his covenant. His covenant. Verse 19, "The Lord hath prepared his throne in heaven, in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all." The longer a believer goes through this life, the more he sees the reality of God's absolute sovereignty. God's absolute sovereignty. God is seated on his throne. And the longer we go, the more we realize and experience that. Believers believe it from the time the Spirit speaks it to their heart. But it's through experience that it becomes more clear and more clear. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. We'll be thankful. God is sovereign. God is in control. God is ruling all. He is absolutely in control of everything, everything, always. Now, there's one more thing that initially was pointed out to me about this chapter, and I pray that the Lord would bring me to this. I pray the Lord would bring me to this. We've already looked at about half of this chapter. We're going to look at the other half briefly. And we're going to see that not one time did he ask for anything in this whole chapter. Not one time did he make one request. The more that God's people are taught of him, they'll all be taught of God. And the more they're taught of him, the more their prayers will go from asking to blessing, praising, thanking. The more that we grow in him, the more our language is going to turn from "please provide for us." Lord, please, please provide for us. It'll turn from that to "the Lord will provide for us. He's going to provide. Lord, you have provided for us. You will provide for us." The more that we are taught of him, the more our language will go from "Lord, I need this. I need this." It'll go from that to "Lord, you know what things we have need of before we ever even ask them." Isn't that right? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Bless you. All praise be to you. Thank you. Now, I wrote down something, and I was going to scratch it out. And I thought, no, I'm going to point out my mistake. I just said, "Oh, I pray God will bring me to this." Now, one of these days, if God ever teaches me, I pray in 20 to 30 years, God teaches me something. It becomes a little more clear, and I say, "God will teach me this. He'll teach me this." And I pray God teaches me that. God will. God will. I believe the Lord brought David to this, and he said in verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Bless the Lord, O my soul. Look at the end of verse 22. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." That's how he begins this. That's how he ends it. He never leaves that subject. Never. Bless God. Thank God. Thank God. Verse 1, he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." All that is within me. Bless his holy name. Look with me at Psalm 4. Psalm 4, verse 4 says, "Stand in awe and sin not." And I think about the fact that that's an impossible task, but that doesn't change our commandment, does it? John said, "My little children, I write these things to you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father." He said in verse 4, "Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. All that is within me." Have a conversation with your own heart and be still. Psalm 77, verse 6 says, "I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search." I communed with my own heart. All that is within me. All that is within me. What is within me? What all is within me? I have a mind in here. I have a mind in here. I can think, I can remember, I can reason. There is a heart in here. There are emotions in here. There are desires in here. I have a soul inside this body. There's a soul in here. There's a soul that God has done something for. If He put me in Christ, there's a soul in here that He did something for. David said, "May all that is within me bless His holy name." Everything that's inside me. Go with me back over to Psalm 103. Verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Now, who is he talking to? Who is he talking to? He's talking to my soul. He's talking to his own soul, isn't he? That's who he's talking to. He's about to tell all the benefits that God has given to his soul. His soul. Verse 3, he said, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities." Does he mean that we're never going to sin in this body ever again? All your sins are taken care of. Is that what he means? He's never going to sin in this body ever again. No. That's not what he means at all. He's saying because of the Lord's benefits, because of what God has done for us in the blood of Christ, we're never going to sin again in the soul. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. But in the blood of Christ, the soul doesn't sin. You're not going to sin in the soul. God dealt with us in Christ and He dealt with our souls. Verse 3 says, "Who healeth all thy diseases." Does he mean that we're never going to get sick again? Not at all. He's talking about the disease of the soul, the sickness of sin. As long as we have the blood of the great physician, we're never going to come down with that sickness ever again. Verse 4 says, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction." Do you mean my body's never going to die? Didn't he say, "Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die"? Are you saying my body's never going to die? No. The old man, thank God, the old man is going to die. The old man of this flesh is going to die, but not the new man of the soul. Never die. My soul, David said, Christ has redeemed you from death. This is the conversation David's having with his soul. This is the conversation we all have with our own souls, isn't it? He said, "Oh, my soul, Christ died for you." What do we have to murmur about? What do we have to murmur about? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless God. David's having a conversation down with his soul. Soul, O my soul. I said to myself, self, bless God. Bless God. Look at verse 4. He finished it by saying, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. What more reason could we possibly need to bless Him for all eternity? Bless the Lord. Bless Him. Bless Him. Verse 7 says, He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Now, he is quoting Exodus 34, where the Lord proclaims His own holy name. He tells Moses what His name is. He said, I'm going to proclaim My name to you. Look at it with me. Go over there to Exodus 34. Exodus 34, verse 5 says, And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed. Now he's saying, this is my name right here. He said, it's the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. Well, wait a minute. If He will by no means clear the guilty, why are we blessing His name? It's because He made His Son to be guilty. He made His Son to be guilty for us so that He could be merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. That's everything He is to His people, everything He is to us. There's only one response we can have to that. One response: bless God. Bless God. All praise be to Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're here to say thank you, aren't we? We're here to say thank you. That's the closing exhortation that David gives in his prayer there in Psalm 103. Go back over to Psalm 103, verse 20. Psalm 103, verse 20 says, Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His host, ye ministers of His, that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Everyone and everything that has breath needs to praise the Lord. Give Him thanksgiving. Honor, praise. But this is where David said, I'm ending it. He said, I'm going to end it right here. This is my number one concern right here. He said at the end of verse 22, Bless the Lord, O my soul. Everything needs to bless him. The angels need to bless him. The whole host needs to bless him. All of his ministers and servants need to bless him. Every work he's ever done needs to bless him. But here's my number one concern. So, now listen to me. Oh, my soul, bless the Lord. I must bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. Our God has truly given us no other reason to do anything other than bless his holy name. There's a song that is a direct quotation from this psalm. Bless the Lord. I want us to sing that. Let's all stand together. It's hymn number 30.